Good morning. Wonderful to see everybody gathered together. Listen to this verse from Isaiah 25, the first verse. Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name. For in perfect faithfulness, you have done wonderful things, things planned long ago. I'm excited for us to be gathered together for a time of worship, always a humbling and fulfilling experience for the church to come together. And before we begin our worship service, I would like to welcome everyone, especially our guests. If this is your first time, or if you've been many times, we have guest cards. And the purpose of those is to have you fill them out. They're located in the pew in front of you. Place them in the offering plate so we can have a record of you being here and hopefully be able to share some more information about how God is at work through our congregation. A few announcements to make sure of, a couple items. Awana and Journey are off to a wonderful start last week, as well as this past Wednesday night, so I hope that continues. Pray to see everyone out again. For a few weeks now, we've been making sure about the background checks. Well, here and here, we're turning those into the office to make sure you have those in time. Also, the outreach committee needs to meet directly after worship, right down here with Gary, and the whole purpose of this meeting is to discuss when to have a meeting this week. To talk about the block party. So this will be a very short one to discuss the time, where there can be a little more lengthy one to make sure everything's squared away for that time, October 11th. Also in the atrium, just inform, Adam showed me the softball schedule, so if you would like one of those, there's a stack of those in the atrium out there for anyone to take. Do we have any other announcements that weren't mentioned to me prior to our worship service? Well, hearing none, let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. God, thank you so much for this time that you have called us together. Lord, we never grow tired of thanking you. As your church, as your people, Lord, we know that you have a purpose for us in our lives. And Lord, when that comes together collectively, God, your kingdom is glorified. Your kingdom is built and you are glorified. Lord, it is amazing to participate in that. We are ready for a time of worship. We are ready for a time to praise your name. A time for your word to touch our hearts and transform our minds. God, we do not want to leave here the same way we entered. We want to be transformed into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to allow that to continue in the week that is ahead. And Lord, we ask for preparation for all that is before us, for you know everything and you know what we need before we even ask. Show us how to rely on you, Lord, and show us how to focus on you right now. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Now let's make sure we spend several moments preparing our hearts and minds for worship.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears abandon, and live my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King Jesus. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. Our God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King Jesus. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King.
Don't worry, you're not going to get stoned this morning. Not with this, anyway. No pun intended. My place where I live produces stones, rocks, of some of the most unusual shape, and I've just never seen something. They're almost volcanic. And according to that wonderful source of insignificant knowledge, the internet, the rocks are formed over time from the rigors and the pressures, extreme cold and extreme heat of the Earth's environment. And what results is a rock, something strong enough to stand on. Even the Bible says, build your house on it, and when the storms come, it won't fall. And most of us do kind of look for bedrock when we build our house, don't we? You know, when God in the fullness of time came incarnate, He endured the rigors of becoming a man. He endured the pressures of everyday life and temptations just like you did and I do. He endured the extreme cold-heartedness of man and the extreme hot, searing heat of the cross, and rose to become our rock upon which we can stand when times get rocky. And that's why we love Him so. The passage that the pastor has chosen is Psalm 18, and I just love the message. Read it with me. I'll read the light print, you read the dark in your worship plan. Go ahead and find it. I love you, God.
You make me strong.
God is the bedrock under my feet. My God, the high crag where I run for dear life, hiding behind the boulders, safe in the granite hideout, I sing to God the praise, lofty, and find myself safe and saved. Isn't that beautiful? Safe and saved, standing on the rock. You know, Regina inspired us so much with Jesus Loves Me. Turn to hymn number 7, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, the hymn that expresses so beautifully, I love you, God. But I want us to sing Jesus Loves Me first. Shall we stand?
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me. So
give us an introduction. Joyful, joyful. Hymn number 7. Sing it with joy in your heart.
Joyful, joyful, we adore Thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like fires before Thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All Thy works with joy surround Thee, earth and heaven reflect Thy ways. Stars and angels sing around Thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, singing bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in Thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed. Wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depths of happy rest. Thou our Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are Thine. Teach us how to love each other. Fill us with the joy divine. I sing praises to Your name. O Lord, praises to Your name. O Lord, for Your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to Your name. O Lord, praises to Your name. O Lord, for Your name is great and greatly to be praised.
You found it now in your worship plan. Let's sing it again, and let this be our prayer this morning. I sing. I want to see everyone singing.
Oh, Lord.
Come on and sing it out.
Praises to Your name. Oh,
come on, youth.
For Your name is great. I sing praises to Your name.
Sing it, balcony.
Oh, Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord,
for your name is great.
For your name is great and greatly to be praised.
Amen. Thank you for singing so beautifully. Pray.
Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for our many blessings, and we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to come into your house and hear your word, Father. And as we sang today, we ask it, we not only praise your name, Father, but we praise you and give you the praise for all the blessings that you give us. We ask that you bless these offerings and these tithes today to further thy kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We'll give just a little more time for the children to come down at this time as we're allowing them to come down. I'm always excited for all the children to come down, for us to spend a little time each Sunday morning to talk about how God is guiding our time together. And the children that go off, we know, in the children's church under kindergarten have a time where they continue their worship based on what we're talking about this morning. So I love seeing everyone come down, and I love the way we can always talk a little bit. You know, I have questions, and you always share such wonderful answers. And so this morning's no different, as I gave just a little time for everybody to be here. I want to ask you if you have a favorite sport. A lot of people love sports, and I want to know, do you have a favorite sport that you like to play or watch? And tell me what your favorite sport is. Yeah. Baseball. I love that. Love to watch baseball. Play baseball. What else? Tell me your favorite sport. Somebody else give me a sport that is your absolute favorite. Do you have one? Soccer. Soccer, I love that. And that's funny you mentioned that. Let me ask you, in all the world, do you know what the most popular sport is? Soccer. Most people might not believe that soccer is known to be the most popular sport in the whole world. Many years ago, I had two roommates, one of which played semi-professional soccer actually over in Europe for a little time, so he knew a lot about soccer and taught me a lot about soccer, so I could really appreciate it, and we watched it a lot. And I learned a couple things. Let me show you. Do you know what that is? It's yellow. It's a yellow card, right? That's an easy one. Even if you don't know soccer, that you can probably tell is a yellow card. Now, in soccer, you're given a yellow card if you do something wrong. If you make a mistake and you do something that maybe is a little dangerous, the referee is going to put your name on the yellow card, and now you have a warning. Now, if you get another one of those, you'll see this one, a red card, right? These are easy, right? A red card, that's your second warning, right? Now think about this. That's not very forgiving, is it? That's only two mistakes, and if you get a red card, you're out of the game, and you just have to go and watch the rest of the game, and you can't play anymore during that game. That seems kind of harsh. You only get two mistakes, and then you're out. Even in baseball, you get three strikes before you're out, right? But you got to think about it. They have to be really strict to make sure people play by the rules. But you may ask yourself, that seems like there should be a little more forgiveness in soccer. than there is. And so I wanted to ask you one more question just to think about, not to answer out loud. When somebody maybe does something wrong to you or says something that you don't like, how many times are you supposed to forgive them? If you think about it, one time, maybe two times, maybe 10 times. And he says, all the time. That's absolutely right. It may not be easy, but Jesus tells us this morning something in Matthew chapter 18. And he's actually talking to Peter. And so I want you to hear what Jesus says in Matthew 18, starting with verse 21. Okay? Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. And some places say 70 times 7. That's a lot of times, right? Now, if you think about it, you could probably count to that number pretty easy. But that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is not really wanting us to only forgive 77 times and then stop. He's telling us no matter what, we're always supposed to forgive. That's what God does for us each and every day. And that's what Jesus teaches. So we have to remember to always forgive, just like Jesus says. Okay? Let's pray about that this morning. God, thank you so much for the way you forgive us, always. And teach us to forgive others so we can always stay focused on your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
As they are returning to their seats, let me invite you to look on the backside. We changed the way we fold the bulletin to get all the program, and I know that's going to take us a little bit of time to get used to, but we folded it back so they would all be together. If you fold it back over, you'll see our prayer concerns, and I've got first an update on Heather Hickman. I talked to Gail this morning. Heather has moved out of the ICU unit into the step down. She has had a great deal of discomfort and some nausea with her recuperation, but is making progress. And last night was probably the best night as they're changing pain medicines. And we certainly want to continue to keep her in our prayers. The doctors are very pleased with the reconstruction they were able to do in her heart. And we just want to keep her lifted up in our prayers. I know Marguerite Garner was planning to be here today, but was having some difficulty breathing, and they decided not to come. We want to keep Hubert and Marguerite lifted up in our prayers. And also, a lady who works in a restaurant, and some of you may know, Miss Jane Owens in Golston, is having some pretty major health issues right now. And we want to keep her lifted up and added to our prayer concern as well. You'll also see those names that are there. We'd ask that you keep each of those lifted up this week in your prayer. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come here today grateful that we have been forgiven more than once, more than twice. Lord, more than 7 times 70. That your forgiveness is complete. That your forgiveness takes in all of our big sins. And all of our little sins. The sins of those things we do and the sins of those things we left undone. And God, to say that you are better to us than we deserve is the truth of your forgiveness. You are our rock in times of trouble. And as our instruments played in times of trouble, we go to the rock. And we are grateful that you are that solid in our life. That when times are tough, we can go to you. And we have a list of names of people who are needing to go to the rock. We lift them to your care and ask your blessing to be upon them in a very special way. That you might minister to their need. That you might use us as instruments of your grace and of your mercy. That we might indeed carry your love with us to them. And God, we know when we're in your presence, as we are right now, we're in the best place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The message continues, Psalm 18, like this. live, God. I like that. We want God to live. He is our living God. Blessings from my rock, my free and freeing God, towering. This God has set things right for me and shut up the people who talked back. He rescued me from enemy's anger. He pulled me from the grips of upstarts. He saved me from the bullies. That's why I'm thanking you, God, all over the world. That's why I'm singing songs that rhyme your name. God is our rock in rocky times, and Kelly Lear is going to come and share with us how God was her rock in a rocky time. Kelly?
This is a portion of my testimony which shows me how God never left me in one of the darkest times of my life, and also how this tragedy brought myself and Jamie closer to the Lord in our marriage and individually as well. Jamie and I had been married a little over a year when we found out that we were expecting. We were both excited and looking forward to what we knew would be a very exciting and special milestone in our marriage. We were about to grow as a family, scary but exhilarating at the same time. To abbreviate the story for time's sake, everything was going great with the pregnancy until I reached 18 weeks. I went into labor and delivered our precious Frances Caroline, and she didn't survive. I had carried this gift in my body for almost 5 months, had felt her move, dreamed about what she would look like and grow up to be, and of course, Jamie and I had already fallen deeply in love with this precious little girl, and in the blink of an eye, we had lost her. Without a doubt, it was the most devastating thing that has ever happened to Jamie and myself. I felt like the grief and sadness would physically consume me. I prayed and prayed and I prayed some more. I did a lot of soul searching, and through my grief and despair, my relationship with God grew. I had been saved in 1998, but still wasn't living quite like I should. God had blessed me with so much more than I deserved, and I still wasn't living completely for Him. After losing Caroline, in a way, I felt like God was saying, "Hey, look at me. I've given you everything that you've asked for, a good husband, a nice home, a good job. It's time to do things His way instead of trying to do it on my own." I had to totally surrender, not just a little bit, but completely surrender all to Him. Turning my heartbreak and grief over to God gave room for hope and happiness again. Within a few months of losing our Caroline, we found out we were expecting again. This time it was with Ian, and I promised God that, "Lord, if you would just give him to me, I promise we will raise him to know you and give him back to you." Jamie and myself aren't perfect parents or perfect Christians by no means, but we did and continue to try and teach Ian about our Lord and Savior and for him to learn as much as he can so that he can go out and share God's word with others. When Ian was 5 years old, he accepted Christ as his personal Savior. And every day I'm amazed watching the Holy Spirit work in his life and ours as well. God always has a funny way of giving you exactly what you need when you need it. You may go through some very dark valleys, but when it's all said and done, it's all a part of his perfect plan, and he will always be right there beside you. Had we not lost Caroline, would we have been so diligent in raising Ian in a Christian home? I wonder. Maybe Caroline was the vessel of sacrifice to turn our family around and also to use our testimony to grow his kingdom. Looking back, I can see in so many ways how God has truly been and continues to be our rock. We will always lean on him. Never in a million years could we have made it through all of the sadness without putting him first and following him, because he surely is the only way.
In all circumstances of life, as the Bible says, therefore will I give thanks. Shall we stand and sing hymn number 153, My Tribute, How Can I Say Thanks?
How can I say thanks for the things He has done for me, things so undeserved, yet He gave to prove His love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude, all that I am and ever hope to be. I owe it all to Thee, to God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory for the things He hath done. With His blood He has saved me, with His power He has raised me. Just let me live my life. Let it be pleasing, Lord, to Thee. And if I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. For with His blood saved me, with His power He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things He has done. God is so God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He is my rock. He is my rock. He is my rock. Our Father, we thank You that You are our rock and You are so good to us. We thank You so much for that. We thank You that You are that safe place that we can go and hide. That hiding in Thee, Lord, we find peace and we find contentment. Oh, Lord, we thank You that we can say, oh, safe to the rock that is higher than I. I'm hiding in Thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, choir. Thank you, Kelly, and thank you, Ben. Our worship has led us to the throne and to the rock. Let me invite you to open to Psalms 18. Psalms 18, as we continue this pattern of looking at David's life and then some of the hymns that David has attributed unto him. You'll notice in the preliminaries that to the choir master, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who addressed the words of this song to the Lord on the day when the Lord rescued him from the hands of his enemy and from the hand of Saul. Isn't that a tremendous introduction? It's a powerful reminder of God at work as our worship has led us to this point. I would invite you now, if you're able, to stand as we read Psalms 18, 1 through 6, and then verses 46 through 50. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, for I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. And then in verse 46, the Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation, the God who gave me vengeance and subdued people under me, who delivered me from my enemies. Yes, you exalted me above those who rose against me. You rescued me from the man of violence. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing to your name. Great salvation he brings to his king and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, would you speak to us for a moment in this text as we continue to look at your power in our life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our hymn of decision is What Else Today? Page 406, The Solid Rock. Page 406. You can mark that and be prepared at the end of our service for that time of decision. You ever walked in muddy ground? I remember as a kid watching Tarzan and quicksand. I always remember praying, thank you, Lord, there's no quicksand where I live. That was bad stuff. Remember a story about a fellow who was walking. He saw another fellow, and he was right up to his chin in mud. And he said, man, that is terrible. You're in a bad shape. He says, that's not half of it. I'm still on my horse. That was bad mud, wasn't it? That was bad. You ever felt like you were in bad, bad situation? All this talk of rocks, of solid, of steadfast, immovable. I remember when I was in college. We have some of our college folks home. It's good to see you guys. I got a chance to go with a friend of mine to Rhode Island. And during this Indian summer, I didn't realize, but up there to save water, they took baths in the pond. I was okay with that. That's kind of cool. I'm not sure I'd be okay with that now, but back then I was okay with that. And I remember we'd swim in that pond, and he said, Kevin, my friend, said, come on, I'm going to show you something. And so we began to swim, and we were swimming right out to the middle of the pond. And I began to think, as we kept swimming, if I couldn't touch the bottom, I thought, well, what are we doing? Out there about 100 yards. Suddenly I saw Kevin, stand up in the middle of the pond. And I kept swimming, and sure enough, right out in the middle of that pond, just about a half inch below the surface of the pond, was a rock probably as large as this pulpit area. And we stood up, and we looked back at the shore, and we waved, and I've got a picture of me and Kevin standing out in the middle of the pond on the rock. And I've told people, you want to see if I can walk on water? Look at here. I've got evidence that I can. Right below the surface of deep water, was a rock. I wonder what we might be swimming in today. I wonder what we might be trudging through. What muddy ground, what soggy soil, what river might be raging before us, and we need to find those stepping stones to cross over, those rocks that we can depend upon. Today, may David in this hymn teach us some important truths. The first truth is that if we're not careful, we might choose to stand in the wrong place, to stand on the razor's edge of destruction. David found himself living in that place. We know that during this time in his life that he was fighting wars against the Philistines, against the Amalekites, and at the same time, Saul was trying to kill him. We read about that and talked about that last Sunday. David was in a difficult place. Sometimes in life, we might find ourselves in those difficult places that we might wonder, should I keep on? Is this too much? Is God still dependable? Is the rock still the rock? As the Union Pacific Railroad was being constructed, there was one place where they had to build this elaborate bridge, a trestle bridge, and it was built over a large canyon, and a lot of people were skeptical. They were skeptical about how that bridge might hold up. They'd never seen anything quite like it. Wanting to test the bridge, the builder located a train with enough extra cars and equipment to double the normal payload. He instructed that the train was to be driven out to the middle of the bridge and then parked. And there it would stay all day and all night. One of the workers realized what he was doing and went to the builder and he says, "What are you trying to do, break the bridge?" "No," the builder replied, "I'm trying to prove that the bridge won't break." I'm trying to prove that the bridge won't break. I've got good news today. The rock is still solid. David was right when he began this wonderful, elaborate, and I was reading one of the commentaries. It says, you can almost see in verse 2 that he began to just to get lost in his praise of God. Do you ever get lost in your praise? Do you ever start a prayer that maybe you're just going to be praying for something and suddenly your imagination gets caught by who God is, and that's what happens. I love you, O Lord, my strength. And that'd be enough. You could go on with your prayer, but not for David. He said, not only are you my strength, but you're my rock. And, you know, as a rock, you're not only my rock, you're my fortress. You're not only my fortress, you're my deliverer. You are my God and my rock in whom I can take refuge. And not only are you all that, but you're also my shield. And you're my horn of salvation. You're my stronghold. He just got caught up because he realized the rock wouldn't break. Isn't that good news today? That no matter if we're standing in difficult places, that our faith is well placed when it's placed in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not only is there a difficulty in standing in destruction, as David tells us in verse 4, the cords of death encompassed me, the torrents of destruction assailed me. He gives us that second place that destruction often leads us to. It's a place of distress. Look at with me at verse 6. In my distress, I called on the Lord. To my God, I cried for help, and he heard me. Are you standing in distress today? Maybe the destruction's already come. Maybe the difficult has already passed, but now you're injured. Maybe someone said something they shouldn't have said, did something they shouldn't have done. Maybe today you're just in that distressful place. Are we standing there? Are we standing where today we're numb by life? The Novocaine of pain has numbed our feelings. Jesus was aware that sometimes we get caught in that distress and that anxiety. And in Matthew's gospel, he says, therefore, Jesus says, I tell you, don't be anxious about your life. What you'll eat or what you'll drink or about your body, what you'll put on, is life, listen to this, is life not more than food and the body not more than clothing? You know, that's what our society says it's all about. It's food and clothes, isn't it? I wonder what Jesus meant when he said, is not life more than that? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And I think Jesus says, yes, you are. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today alive and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? You know where he's taking us? To my favorite verse in the New Testament. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Don't stay at distress. Trust in God. Stand on the solid rock. It won't break. It won't leave you. It won't desert you. It is there. You know, rocks are big in Scripture. Remember just a few weeks ago, we were talking about David with one little rock dropped a giant. Moses got water from a rock. He didn't do it quite right, and it cost him, but still the rock gave the water. Jesus says, as we mentioned already, that a wise man will build his house on a rock, and when the rains come, and they'll come, and the winds blow, and they'll blow, it will stand. Peter was called the rock. I read that this morning before our business meeting. And that confession that he made in Caesarea Philippi, when he said, you are the Christ, you are the Christ, you are the Messiah, you are the one we've been looking for. You're the only one who gives us hope. You're the only one that gives us a future. You're that one, Christ Jesus. You remember what Jesus said? He said, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. And then he says, and upon you, Peter, the rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And that's not the greatest rock, as though I might want it to be the greatest rock. That's the most important rock that I can do anything with today, except proclaim the greatest rock of all. Do you know the greatest rock of all in Scripture? You probably never even heard it called a rock. We often call it a stone. You remember that stone? Jesus had been crucified on the cross. They had taken down his dead body. They placed it in a barred tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And a stone was rolled to cover it up. And 3 days later, as Mary went and the ladies went to anoint the dead body because they couldn't do it because of Passover and because of the Sabbath. And they went on the third day, the first day of the week, that Sunday. And the stone, the stone had been rolled away. The stone of death had been rolled away. The stone of destruction had been rolled away. The stone of distress had been rolled away. And listen, there's a truth I remember hearing it a long time ago. I never thought about it. I'm thinking about it now. Maybe you need to think too. They didn't roll the stone away to let Jesus out. He was already out. They rolled the stone away so we could look in and realize the power of the resurrection. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Don't park, don't stand on the razor's edge of destruction or on the ravages of distress, but instead stand on the rock of the deliverer. Indeed, Jesus is that deliverer. He says, come unto me and you can learn that I can make a difference. You see, when David is writing this psalm and he's saying all these words about the Lord being his rock and his fortress and his deliverer, he didn't know that his great, 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 keep going, keep going, keep going grandson was going to be the rock of mankind. Your rock and my rock. The rock upon which Flat Springs Baptist Church was founded. The rock upon which every Christian church is founded. Your rock and my rock. Oh, indeed, today, this is where we need to stand. Not at distress, just pass by it. Not at destruction, keep on moving. Stand on the rock of your deliverer. It was John MacArthur in his commentary series on Hebrews who penned these words. Listen to them. Someone has said that Jesus Christ came from the bosom of the Father to the bosom of a woman. He put on humanity that we might put on divinity. He became Son of Man that we might become sons of God. He was born contrary to the laws of nature, lived in poverty, was reared in obscurity, and only once crossed the boundary of the land in which he was born, and that was in his childhood. He had no wealth or influence. He had neither training nor education in the world's schools. His relatives were inconspicuous and uninfluential. In infancy, he startled a king. In boyhood, he puzzled learned doctors. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature. He walked on the billows and hushed the sea to sleep. He healed the multitudes without medicine and made no charge for his services. He never wrote a book, and yet all the libraries of the world would not hold the books that are written about him. He never wrote a song, yet he has furnished the theme for more songs and songwriters together. He never founded a college, yet all the schools together cannot boast as many students as he has. He never practiced medicine, and yet he's healed more broken hearts than all the doctors have healed broken bodies. This Jesus Christ is the star of astronomy, the rock of geology, the lion and the lamb of zoology, the harmonizer of all discords, and the healer of all diseases. Throughout history, great men have come and gone, yet he lives on. Herod could not kill him. Satan could not seduce him. Death could not destroy him. And the grave could not hold him. That's the rock. That's the rock. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. How about you? Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, would you in this moment speak to our heart? We've got to decide where we're going to stand this week. There'll be options. To stand at the corner of disillusionment and discouragement. There'll be the opportunity to stand at the alley of discord and disruption. there'll be a tendency to stand at distress and destruction. But today, O God, as our heads are bowed, our hearts are open, and our spiritual eyes and ears are focused on your Holy Spirit right now, would you hear us say, we're going to stand on the rock of our deliverer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is page 406. And as God's Spirit is moving in this place, may we respond to Him as we stand together.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not touch the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest upon His changing grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Again, let me remind those of you that are on the outreach committee, if you will meet right up here, in fact, you're going to meet without me. Dwayne and Crystal, if y'all just get a time for everybody who can to meet, we just need to get together for a few minutes to decide, to have a meet and decide when we can meet. How about that? And then we will go from there. And so, and also, if you haven't signed up, I think there's 72 that have signed up. Remember, there'll also not only be the tacos and all that, but it'll always be a salad. So if you could come and join us. And again, let me invite you at 6:30. Come to our prayer service. We've moved it into the sanctuary. I just believe that Deep River might be a better community if this sanctuary was full of folks. We'll have to get more because a lot of them are going to be working all over everywhere else, and that's a good thing. But if you don't have anywhere to be and an assignment on Wednesday night, come join us for 45 minutes. We look into God's Word and we pray together. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? God, go with us from this place. Guide us and direct us to make sure we stand on You, our rock. In Christ's name we pray.
On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
That is a big hit. Can we shake hands? As we're looking. Can we shake hands? Not really. All right. That's a big hit. Hey, how are we? How are we? Wonderful, wonderful.